The Lord be with you. We're reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, and many say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it's not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Isaiah 40, beautiful words. Comfort. Give comfort to my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. St. Ignatius of Loyola in the Spiritual Exercises, number 3 of the Rules for Discernment, gives a descriptive rule of what consolation is. And consolation is any augmentation of faith, hope, love, joy, peace, comfort, a desire for eternal happiness, desire for the heavenly. So, trying to give this an Ignatian interpretation, all of us go through desolation. And what is that? Lack of faith, lack of hope, lack of love, sadness, tendency to discouragement, disorientation. We want to give up the fight. So our life is a constant, we might say, roller coaster. We all have that. Montaña rusa, as they say in Spanish. Okay? A roller coaster where we have consolation, but also we go through desolation. So I'd like to mention at least 3 things that give me consolation when I'm in desolation. One thing is this. If I find myself in desolation, I will sometimes take my rosary and I will take the 5th glorious mystery, which I love, which is the crowning of Mary. And I'll say every Hail Mary and I'll mention the name of a saint to pray for me. St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, St. John Bosco, Teresa of Avila, St. Faustina, Dominic Savio, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Athanasius, St. Peter, St. Paul. And after those 3 minutes, very often the desolation disappears. You might try it. You might try it. That's me. My personal way of coping with desolation. So it's going to Mary and going to the saints. Second way is receiving the Eucharist. You receive the Eucharist today, even though you got up, maybe you felt a little bit tired today, maybe you've got a cough, you know, maybe you got a headache, maybe something happened yesterday that's weighing upon you. Well, here we are at 8 o'clock in the morning. In a short time, you're going to receive the Eucharist. That should be an infinite source of comfort and consolation. Amen? And third is this. And how God can use the natural as a bridge to the supernatural. Think of something in nature. Something in nature that really captivates you. It could be anything. The other day I was giving a talk and we're talking about birds. Or as they say in New York, the boys, okay? The birds, okay? Remember once there was a nun that was talking with the little boy, and the boy said, "Sister, look at the boys." And the sister wanted to correct his English and said, "Johnny, they're not boys, they're birds." He said, "Well, they certainly chirp like boys." Any New Yorkers here? But I was talking about, I think, once again, my opinion, I'm not a bird expert, I think two of the most extraordinary birds is the hummingbird that can fly backwards. Incredible. Have you ever seen a hummingbird? Flies backwards. And he does it well. And he doesn't bump into the wall. I mean, he has a certain instinct to fly backwards, no? But I think the most extraordinary bird that God has created is, in about 50 years ago, there was a movie that came out with Gregory Peck called To Kill the Mockingbird. Remember that? Great movie, no? Great author, Harper Lee, wrote it, no? But the fact that a hummingbird, have you ever heard of, a mockingbird? Have you ever listened to them? I guess you haven't. No? A mockingbird can imitate tons of other birds. And does it perfectly. How on earth could that bird do that? Obviously, God has given the bird a certain animal memory in which this bird has heard the chirping of other birds. And what has happened is God has given this bird a memory bank and an ability to communicate the repetition of those other songs. And sometimes I've had a mockingbird outside my window. Now listen to it, and it's sometimes it's 15 or 20 different melodies. Now, where does that come from? That comes from God. Because that bird did not go to a singing school, did he? He was not trained by Indai. Okay? It's obviously that comes from God. And the thought that God can create this little bird to be able to imitate tons of other birds and to imitate, to mock perfectly the melodies of the other birds, for me that's an incredible source of consolation. Because behind the melody of the bird is the melody of God Himself. And God is melody. God is perfection. God is beauty. God is song. God is loveliness. All the wonderful manifestations of greatness in the world is a pale reflection of who God is. Amen? Okay, let's move on with this consolation. Paul says, as you have received consolation from God, give consolation to others. Okay, now how can you give consolation to others? Okay, if you see someone in desolation, for example, maybe you're married and you notice your husband is in desolation. The tendency is, why are you so grumpy? Right? That's the bad spirit. You look very grumpy today, no? Sometimes people say this, "Father, you look tired." That's the worst thing to say in the world. That's terrible. You think it's compassion? That's terrible. Remember, once Saint Anthony Mary Claret were very gentle. He rebuked the person on that. Never do that again, no? You tell me, what good is going to come out of you saying you look tired? You cast the person into desolation. What you ought to do is say, "Father, I thank you for this." That's much better than saying, "You look tired, no? You look tired." There's no profit in the world by saying that to anyone. Okay? So, first thing you can do when you see a person in desolation, pray for the person. say a Hail Mary, that person will get out of it. So you can move the person from desolation to consolation. Number two is this. You see a person in desolation. Say something kind. Say something kind. It can be the simplest thing in the world. Say something kind. We should form an apostolate of kindness. Barnabas, son of consolation. Say something kind. So that's the first reading today. And third is this. And this is not going to cost you too much. Maybe a smile. A smile. You know, sadness is contagious. But also, joy is contagious too. And you've noticed, you know, maybe, you know, you smile at your grandchild. What do you do? He smiles back. Or you frown at your grandchild. Carta di vinagre, huh? Okay. You get it back, huh? So this first verse of Isaiah 41, I was meditating upon this morning, it just jumped out at me as being very Ignatian, instead of comfort, consolation. Okay, I'd like to end by speaking about comfort, consolation, related to the gospel. The gospel is Jesus speaks about the lost sheep. Today we celebrate Santa Claus, okay? Today is Santa Claus. Today is St. Nicholas. Okay? In Europe, it's where the United States before, children would put their shoes out and the parents would put money or candy or whatever, some type of gift. In Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, United States, at least 50 years ago, they would do that. No? And I noticed I had four pairs of shoes this morning. I didn't see anything in them. But the day isn't over yet, okay? Maybe St. Nick will get into my room there and put some marshmallows or something, okay? Okay, according to tradition, okay, St. Nicholas lived in Greece. He was a priest and a bishop. And he was like St. Martin of Tours, which he was always trying to give and help out. Tradition says that he saved three innocent people who were condemned. He exonerated them. He brought three children back from death to life. But most important, and I'll tell you the reason why we give gifts, is that it was a poor man who had three daughters. And the three daughters wanted to get married. And they would have to have what was called a dowry. They would have, you know, provide for their future family. There's no way that father could pay for the dowry. The danger was that these girls would have to give into prostitution, you know, commit a sin to make money to be able to pay for their wedding. So what did St. Nicholas do? He heard about this and he threw a bag of gold coins through the window at night. Paid for the first girl's wedding. He did it the second time. Then the third time he threw it in and the father ran after him and actually saw him and thanked him for giving his daughters that gift. So basically he did that to save these girls from giving in to a life of prostitution and probably preventing their marriage. So as a result of that, what do? We give gifts on Christmas on the day of St. Nicholas. So that's the history behind this wonderful saint. So this wonderful saint is a great source of consolation because when we give, God gives even more to us. The more we give, the more consolation God gives to us. So let's listen to Mother Teresa. Give until it hurts. And St. Paul says, there's much more joy in giving than in receiving. And the greatest gift of Christmas is the gift of Jesus Christ from God the Eternal Father. Amen.